Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if you have a Bible question or if there's some issue you're dealing with and would like to talk it over, well, we would welcome your call right now to 844-322-2742. We'll talk it through today on Basic Gospel. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Call now because, as I say, it is Basic Gospel. And Bob Christopher, great to have you back, my friend.
Well, thanks, Bob. It is good to be back in studio with you. I had a great week last week with Gina. Gina and I celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary, and we spent a little time together in the great state of Colorado. So we really enjoyed our time, and it's hard to believe that we've already hit that milestone, that 30-year milestone. Goes by so quickly.
Seems like it was just yesterday,
Yes, indeed. But I've had several people ask me, you know, how did you do it? How did you get to this milestone? And, you know, we've talked about marriage so many times here on Basic Gospel, but wanted to just bring to the table a couple of things that have been really helpful to me and really helpful to our marriage. And one of the things that you find out when you come to Christ is, you know, you start to see things through God's eyes and you gain a whole new perspective. And that's true when it comes to marriage. You get to see your mate through God's eyes. And that is so vitally important. So some of the things that I tell couples that come to me for counseling, whether it's premarital counseling or whether it's couples that are in the midst of upheaval and trial and tribulation and those sort of things, I put forth several questions. The first one is this: how does God see my mate? So I challenge both to answer that question, and I point them to this passage in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. So if you're in Christ, this particular passage is a description of you. It talks about the fact that you've been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, that you've been predestined or chosen to be holy and blameless in His sight. You've been predestined for adoption into the family of God, that in Christ you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, to the praise of the glory of God's grace, that you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's who you're married to. You're married to that person who is connected to God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when you start to see your mate through God's eyes, things start to change as far as how you begin to treat him or her.
Sure.
So it's important that you understand how God sees your mate and then allow God's Spirit to align your eyes with God's eyes. The second question is this: how does God love my mate? And that is just an incredible question to ask and answer. And the Bible gives us some very clear answers on that in 1 Corinthians 13. Mm-hmm. As you read verses 4 through 7, you can say, this is how God loves my mate. He is patient with her, or he is patient with him. He is kind to her. He is kind to him. And you can just go through those 15 action statements and see how God loves your mate.
Yeah.
And then you can rest in the fact that God has equipped you to see your mate, as Ephesians 1, 3 through 14 lays out, and to love your mate as 1 Corinthians 13 lays out. Mm-hmm. Not in your own strength, not in the energy of your flesh, not through human effort, but because God has given you His Spirit. So God's Spirit will give you the eyes to see, and He will give you the love to give. He's already poured out His love into your hearts. That's the good news. So it's there, and He's just going to empower you to get it out in that relationship. The second thing that is important is to relax. A lot of husbands, for example, they love the passage in Ephesians, wives, submit to your husbands in all things. and they believe it's their job, their duty, to ensure that their wives carry that out. So they're always watching. They're always judging. They're always looking to see that their wives are being submissive. Well, guys, that's not a message to you. That's a message to your wife. And here's the good news. God has given her His Spirit. His Spirit lives in her. So relax and allow God's Spirit to work in your wife to love and respect you as only God's Spirit can lead her to do. You're gonna fail miserably. You're gonna come up way short as far as trying to control her, trying to manipulate her to do what you think she ought to do to make you happy. Relax. Let God work in her.
Yeah.
And wives, let God's Spirit work in your husbands to love you as Christ loved the church. And if we will just relax and leave room for God to work in each other's lives, we're going to see Him doing far more than we could ever dream or imagine. And then the final piece of advice as far as marriage is concerned is this. The Bible says you're to leave, to cleave, to become one flesh. So it's two individuals coming together and joining forces as one new unit, one new entity. Both are connected to Jesus Christ. Both are one spirit with the Lord. Now you're one flesh with each other. Now you need to operate as such. Oftentimes when issues come up, how to raise the children. Well, the husband says, I think we ought to raise them this way, and we ought to be strict and firm and all of this. And the wife is like, no. I had to deal with that growing up. I think we should be tender and this. Mm-hmm. So you have two opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
As far as ideas on how to do this. And so you can't argue and persuade and say, hey, my way's right or this other person's way is right. You have to come together and say, what do we want to do? What does the Lord want to do through us who are now one in Christ? So let every decision that you make flow through that filter, the fact that we are one. I shouldn't call it a filter. I should call it a truth, because it is a truth. You are one flesh. So allow every decision you make flow through that truth that you are one. So just to recap, how does God see my mate? How does God love my mate? Trust God's Spirit to give you the eyes to see him or her the way he sees her, and trust the Holy Spirit to pour out his love in and through you into the life of your mate. Trust the Spirit of God to work in your mate. So relax. You don't have to get all keyed up on any given issue. You can let the Spirit of God do his work and rest in the fact that the two of you are one.
Great admonition, Bob, for those who are married and for those who are expecting to be married. And congratulations to you and Gina on 30 years.
Why, thank you, sir.
Indeed. You know, but whether it's a non-Christian or Christian either, it's not a lot of customers. It's not a lot of marriages that last that long these days. So it is a great milepost, and again, you're to be congratulated. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. I'm Bob Davis with Bob Christopher, who is returning from vacation. Glad to have him back, and we're glad that you've joined us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. And for those of you who support Basic Gospel this month, we want to say thanks by sending you an excellent resource called The New Covenant Journey. It's a journey that will take you to a place of rest and equip you to live your life in the Lord Jesus Christ to the fullest extent. The New Covenant Journey. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you do, be sure to request your copy of The New Covenant Journey. It's going to be quite a trip. I know you're going to enjoy it. So again, basicgospel.net, that's the place to go to make your contribution to support Basic Gospel. Once again, that phone number, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you, and in the meantime, let's see who's on the phone now.
Hi, this is Kobe from Oregon. My question is, I know we have the new covenant, which is Jesus Christ, and the old covenant, which was law and the Ten Commandments. I'm just wondering, how were people saved in the old covenant? Was it just them believing in God, or do they believe in Jesus in the Old Covenant? I'm just kind of confused on what the difference between the two is, between the Old Covenant and then and the New Covenant. I know the New Covenant is all about Jesus, but how did they get to go to heaven if the New Covenant wasn't presented? So, thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Well, Kobe, great question, and certainly appreciate you jumping on with us to ask that. So how were people saved in the Old Testament? Well, exactly the same way that we're saved today, by grace through faith. There's no other way for a man or a woman to be saved as far as God is concerned and as far as our human condition is concerned. Now, in the Old Testament, they were saved on a promise, basically. God was giving them the story concerning Jesus. There's some 300 prophecies in the Old Testament concerning Jesus Christ. From the very beginning, we see in Genesis chapter 3, well, we actually see in Genesis 1, in the story of creation, the fullness of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know that they've cooked up something for mankind that was going to be an eternal blessing. And then we see the story of how God was going to overcome sin through the seed of the woman in Genesis chapter 3. And so the story begins, the unfolding of the story concerning Jesus Christ. So this word of God, as I've said time and time again, is God's testimony concerning his Son. Now, folks in the Old Testament had opportunity to respond to God's testimony concerning his Son, to respond to that testimony in faith. And so, for example, in Genesis chapter 15, Abram is having a discussion with God about an heir. At that point in time, he had no children of his own. All he could say is there's a servant would be his heir. And God says, no, no, no. And let me just read this. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. So here was a conversation that Abram was having with God, and God restates his promise that through his seed, basically, the world is going to be blessed. Well, who's the seed of Abram? Well, we know that to be Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that in Galatians chapter 3. So he's not just giving a vague promise. This wasn't just about Isaac or, you know, future generations that would flow from Isaac and then from Jacob. This goes all the way to Jesus. So this is a message from God to Abraham about Jesus Christ himself. And it was to that message that Abraham responded, that Abraham believed, and when he believed, it was credited to him as righteousness. So we see justification by faith. So there's justification by faith in the Old Testament. We see that's the way we're saved in the New Testament. Paul talks about that. And Paul and James both use Abram as a reference to how we're saved. So we step into the faith of our father, Abraham. So we believe like he believed. He believed a message concerning the Son. We believe a message concerning the Son. Here's the difference. They were looking forward to a day when God would send Jesus into this world. They lived in anticipation, in hopefulness of that day coming. We know that he's already arrived, so we live in that reality. We're not looking forward. We've already received the fullness of Christ. Now, they were saved on a credit card, basically. They were not given the gift of the Spirit like you and I are. So there was a big difference in their experience, but the way of salvation was exactly the same, by grace through faith in Jesus.
Absolutely. Kobe, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to reach out. We love hearing from you and all of our listeners. And for those of you who are listening today live to the broadcast, we want to hear from you. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial, both in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, we had an email question, actually Facebook Live question from Lucretia. She says, is there a contradiction here? Matthew says, even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him. However, according to Luke, only one reviled him, while the other one believed in him, asking, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So what's your take on that?
Well, there's no contradiction. There's just, the way the different gospel writers put the story together, pieced it together. Maybe at the beginning, both the thieves were reviling Jesus Christ, and then when the one saw kind of the pain and the agony that Jesus was going through, and all that he said there, something changed. And so we just have to let the story stand for how they recorded it, and rest assured that there are no contradictions.
Right.
We see lots of differences, for example, in the gospel accounts. We see, different writers recording, for example, the resurrection scene at the Garden Tomb, how many women showed up, and those sort of things, and different writers take a little different spin on what they bring forth in their particular accounts. Well, does that mean that they are at odds with one another, or they're contradicting one another? No, absolutely not. They're just telling the story from their perspective, from what God impressed them to tell. And when we read them all together, we get the full scope of what that story is all about. It's like a crime scene or an accident that's happened, and there's multiple witnesses. Well, every witness is not going to have the exact same story.
Sure,
they're
right.
Going to tell it a little bit differently. And if you're an investigator, you want them to tell it a little bit differently. If they're all telling the exact same thing, you think that they have colluded together to manufacture that story, and they're all sticking to it. But if they just kind of tell it from their own perspective, their own vantage point, and you piece those different stories together, you're going to get kind of the full picture of what actually happened. And I think that's what we can look at as far as the gospel accounts are concerned.
Yeah. Lucretia, hope you're listening, and hope that's a help to you. And once again, I want to give that number, because we do still have some time on the clock. We would love to hear live from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742. And Bob, from up in Utica, New York, Ron was listening, and actually through the daily devotional posed a question, which is a good new way to do that. He says, hey guys, love you and your program. It's helped me a lot. I'm confused about God being faithful through unbelief, as Paul writes in Romans 3. In the Gospels, when Jesus was on earth, it's recorded that he couldn't do a miracle because of their unbelief. Now, that sounds like unbelief hinders God's power. I would like to get your intake on input on that.
Well, unbelief doesn't hinder God's power at all. I mean, he sent Jesus to die to take away the sins of the world. So Jesus at that cross took our sins upon himself. Without our knowledge, without our complying with that, he didn't consult us. He didn't do anything. Yeah. He just sent Jesus into this world, and he also raised Jesus back to life without consulting us as well. So the greatest miracle that was ever performed, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, was just God doing something on our behalf.
Yeah.
So that's important. That's important for us to understand. And then we become the recipients of that miracle when we believe. And then we ourselves experience the miracle of new birth, being raised to walk in the newness of life. So, we see for example, in the gospel accounts, Jesus say things like, can I find faithfulness or can I find faith in Israel? And they lived most of their history in rebellion toward God. God sent prophets, and man, they didn't receive the prophets. They rejected the prophets. I mean, all of them.
Yeah.
There wasn't one that they welcomed with open arms. Every time a prophet showed up and brought a message from God to the people, they rejected it and basically did the exact opposite of what the prophet was urging them to do. Mm-hmm. He was always urging them to turn from the foreign gods, to turn from those idols back to the one true God and to the covenant. Mm-hmm. And they kept rejecting, they kept rebelling. And when Christ came, they did exactly the same thing. And so we see this hardening within the nation of Israel, this partial hardening, and only a remnant of those who actually responded to Jesus Christ. And with that partial hardening, the message went out to the Gentile world. Well, that was all part of God's plan as well. That's how God kind of orchestrated everything. And at a time in the future, he's going to come back to the nation of Israel. So he was always looking for faith in Israel, and yet they time and time again did not respond to him with an attitude of faith, with an attitude of trusting. They were looking for something else from God rather than what God wanted to do for them in Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, we're running short of time, but I think you can handle this one from Lee. He says, in Hebrews 9:28, what does the word salvation mean?
Well, Hebrews 9:28 talks about the fact that Jesus Christ is going to come back a second time. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. So that's good news. He's going to appear a second time. And he's going to appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him, or to bring salvation to those who are eagerly waiting for him. So we are certainly waiting for something to happen when Christ returns. And what we're waiting for is our resurrection bodies.
Yeah.
So we've been saved. That salvation has already occurred for those of us who have believed the good news concerning Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. We've been made new creations, and at a point in time, we're going to be given new bodies, resurrected bodies, that will match the body that Jesus came out of the grave with. So he got a resurrection body, and we're going to get a resurrection body. That's the ultimate salvation. That's our ultimate hope. That's what Jesus is going to come back to do, not to bear sins, but to bring salvation to those who are awaiting for him.
Indeed. Thanks, Bob. Well, friends, in addition to our radio broadcast, there are other ways to connect with the Basic Gospel program every day. You can connect online on our website homepage. That's basicgospel.net. Watch for the red live feed link that'll appear just before 3 p.m. daily. And at the same spot on the homepage, you'll see the links to both YouTube and Facebook, the live video streams. We hope you'll take advantage of that. You can also hear the daily broadcast on the Basic Gospel app. Any way you connect with us is a good way, and I hope as you're listening, you will call with any question or concern you might have. The number is always open, 844-322-2742. That's good, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Well, thanks for being with us for Basic Gospel today, everybody, and please remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported program, and we ask you to support this ministry with your prayers and with your gifts. And when you make your gift, we have a copy of a rich resource for you. It's called The New Covenant Journey, written to help you live your life in Jesus Christ to the very fullest. Be sure to request your copy when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. Bob Christopher has produced it, and we want you to have a copy of it because he's poured his heart and soul into the production of it, and that will really bless your life. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again with us tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.